Kevin McCullough says she's the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite. The amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
And I want to say again, congratulations to Jack Cittarelli for winning the Republican nomination for governor in New Jersey. We hope to speak with him shortly about that big win and really how he needs to take it to Murphy every single day. More people by percent were killed in nursing homes under Phil Murphy's watch than Andrew Cuomo. And that's saying something. You have to work hard to kill that many seniors. Anyway, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you back. And Carol Markowitz, the aforementioned, joins us. Now, you may be going, well, wait, this isn't Tuesday. I know. We had a little swapperoo. Kelsey Bowler from the Independent Women's Forum pinch hit for her. And now Carol's with us on Wednesday, and we're grateful for that. Carol, let me ask you real briefly. Do mm-hmm. any of the Republicans in New Jersey or New York, with the terrible records of those two governors, Cuomo and that election's next year,
yeah.
but Murphy in New Jersey this year, and the incompetence and the graft and the crime and the bribery and the self-importance, right. is there a possibility, even a faint one, that Republicans could break through with the right messaging?
It's really tough. I do think this is the moment, and I think New Jersey is better positioned for that moment than New York, because I think memories are very short, and having the election sooner rather than later is better for New Jersey. But, you know, my real concern right now is that so many people who would be voting for these candidates have left. And I see this mass exodus happening in New York and New Jersey, and I see that they're leaving because they've had enough of poor mismanagement, and COVID just pushed them over the edge.
When you realize that Bill de Blasio was elected with only 17% of registered voters,
yeah.
Carol, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, all the Democrats who now hate him openly and say how terrible he is. Well, you had the chance. You had the chance to defeat him. And what I always like to say about this is things were going so well in New York that re-elected Bill de Blasio. Like, that's how well things were going, that it really didn't matter who was in charge. And then when it did matter, you know, we noticed that our mayor might not be up for the job.
Yeah. Well, okay, moving on from state politics, I had to get that in there because I've been dying to know what you thought about it.
Yeah.
And you've written a lot about today's subject throughout the last year. In fact, I don't think there's been a single person that has addressed the issue of masks more thoroughly than Carol Markowitz in the New York Post. And all you have to do is just go take a look through her archives and you'll see that's true. But mm-hmm. Carol, The CDC changed its guidance. The governors yeah. of both states have said, you know, we can start relaxing, at least in camps for summer camp. You've got that in New York. Phil Murphy did the unthinkable this week, and this tells you probably yeah. how bad his polling is. And he said, you know what,
right.
we're going to let school districts decide it, district to district throughout the state. So why are people still wearing masks? You go down through Midtown yeah. and people still have them mm-hmm. on. Why?
I think it's a number of things. I think first it's, you know, collective anxiety. New York went through a lot, obviously, and I understand that people remain nervous. But I think the main thing here is that their leadership has shown such poor guidance in explaining that A, masks might have never been necessary, and B, that they're certainly not necessary post-vaccination. So it's really unfortunate that New Yorkers are sort of in the grip of this madness. And this is the worst New York I've ever known. Angry, suspicious, afraid of each other. And I think a lot of that is we just can't see each other's faces. We can't see smiles in the street. We can't gauge other people's emotions because so much of it is in their face. It's making us a worse city all around. And I think we need to step up the removal of masks, and we need to move on. We really need to move on.
Well, and there's always been this joke, right? So other places in America may seem friendlier because people will smile at you, but sometimes they're patting you on the back while they stick the knife in. And in New York, you just get an honest reflection of how people feel looking them straight on all the time. And I kind of always liked that kind of, yeah, we're tough and we're, you know, we've got kind of an edge,
yeah.
but in deep inside, we're good people and we want everybody to do well. And you're right. I feel like something did, like some switch got flipped in the last 16 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't attribute it fully to one specific thing, but I think when you figure out the pandemic and then the lockdowns mm-hmm. and then the violence following George Floyd And now the revelation of all the mistrust and mismanagement of not only the mayor and the governor, but Fauci. And, you know, what we now know about what he was telling us. I mean, there's reasons for people to be cynical now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, it's not to discount what New York and New Jersey went through. We did go through something serious, but we've gone through bad things in the past and have come out of it better. Something really did shift. And, you know, part of it is what we discussed in the first part of the segment is a lot of people left. A lot of people left these areas and are not coming back. And it really did change the dynamic of the city. It matters. It matters that so many lifelong New Yorkers said, I can't do this anymore. I mean, our family is, you know, teetering on getting out of here. And we never thought we would leave. We were going to live here forever. We were planning to stay here, you know, through retirement. And now we're not so sure.
The sad thing about it is, as people are leaving, I notice it's a lot of the good people. And that's what we need. Mm-hmm. We need more good people making good decisions, voting for good candidates. And it's frustrating. Let me ask you just briefly, as we have like reflected on these last 6 months, you know, we've got a new administration. The entire scope and focus of the country is moving in a different direction. But we are starting to open up and we are starting to have more of these freedoms. Is it your feeling that before year's end, life may begin to feel like normal again?
I think in some places it already is normal. We're heading very quickly towards that normalcy. I'm very worried about New York City. I don't know that we do. And part of it is this continuing masking. You know, people ask me all the time, like, why do I care if other people are wearing masks? Well, I don't. I really don't. If masking was optional everywhere, I wouldn't care who did what. I mean, I would, you know, do whatever makes you comfortable. But the fact is that so many people continuing to mask, it informs decisions made for the rest of us. I mentioned in the column, I took my middle son roller skating to a roller skating birthday party last Saturday. And 93-degree weather, everybody had to be masked in the outdoor rink. Masks are disgusting. They're sweaty and gross, and everybody's mask just looks like, I mean, a petri dish of just bacteria. And, you know, this is what we're doing. And I don't think we should be masking, but I can't tell the roller rink what their rules should be. And they're the only roller rink around. So, you know, the idea of just don't go or don't take your kid to the birthday party is not reasonable either. So until we get to where we can have a sane, you know, policy about masking, I am going to keep talking about it. Until masking is optional for everybody, we must keep talking about it.
Yeah, you got to. All right, Carol, always appreciate your insight. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Go read her latest piece in the New York Post. It's all about why it's time for fellow New Yorkers need to unmask ourselves and our kids. Coming right back. Kevin McCullough, don't go away.